All this week, we've been looking at places in this country that have had success reducing homelessness. New Orleans saw a 90% drop since a peak after Hurricane Katrina, thanks to a model called Housing First.
You just accept them as they are and you provide the housing first. Then once they're in their apartment, you immediately wrap all the services around them that they need to stay stable.
Bergen County, New Jersey ended chronic homelessness.
Now that we've ended chronic homelessness, people who are experiencing homelessness for the first time, it can be rare, it can be brief, and it can be non-recurring because we can focus our efforts on those individuals.
And Chicago hospitals started treating homelessness as a health issue and dramatically cut the amount of money hospitals were spending on homeless people who were frequent emergency room visitors by putting them into homes.
Being homeless is hard on the body. You're prone to injury and violence, to frostbite. And if you have a chronic medical condition, it's only going to exacerbate it.
Well, today we're looking at Atlanta, where homelessness has gone down by almost 30% since 2015. Joining us now is Catherine Marchman, who is the executive director of Partners for Home in Atlanta. Catherine, one thing that Atlanta is doing is aligning public and private funding. Tell us how that works and why it makes such a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough about how critical that alignment is. I think two examples of that is, one, our TANF partnership for homeless families. And TANF is Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. It is a public funding stream that in Georgia and in most communities typically funds things like child welfare and foster care. Mm-hmm. And in Georgia, we recognize that the number one risk factor for families entering the child welfare system is housing insecurity. And so we went to the Department of Family and Children Services and we said, you know, rapid rehousing, which is a permanent housing intervention, is something that TANF dollars can be used to pay for.
Because it basically keeps kids out of foster care.
Well, it prevents housing insecurity and thereby reducing the likelihood of families entering the child welfare system, since housing insecurity is the number one risk factor. Mm-hmm. And they gave us last year $500,000 to invest in rapid rehousing for homeless families. And we matched that with another $600,000 in private investment. And we housed 100 families in less than 8 months.
So what you're saying is you've basically gotten creative about how to fund programs that you would have wanted to do anyway, but you've been able to show that, in fact, you can do them with money that's been allocated to something slightly different, but in fact, they're connected.
Exactly. But taking that one step beyond is using public dollars in a smarter, more efficient way. So instead of using it as a Band-Aid, we're using it as a prevention mechanism to not only get the solution we want in homelessness, which is ending their homelessness, but then for the child welfare system, hopefully preventing that family from altogether entering foster care. Another great example of this for folks who are chronically homeless, which means a person who has a disabling condition has been homeless for a long time. So this individual is typically our most vulnerable in our community. They're costing our system the most. We are scaling permanent supportive housing. We were able to pass a $25 million bond through city council a year and a half ago, and we are matching that $25 million in the private sector for a $50 million investment. And a big portion of those funds will go to support the scaling of permanent supportive housing. And the Housing Authority in Atlanta stepped up to the plate and said, we want to be a part of this. We're going to provide the operating and rental assistance dollars for all 550 units that you develop. So what we did was we combined all three funding streams, the private dollars for services, the public dollars for the capital, so the sticks and bricks to build the units, and now the Housing Authority funding stream for the project-based rental assistance. And we created one application. And that's really unique and innovative because a developer would previously have to go to three or four or five different resources. They can come to one place mm-hmm. now.
And I know that Atlanta has been successful already at reducing chronic homelessness and veteran homelessness. Now you're focusing more on young adults, especially the LGBTQ community. What are you doing there?
Right. So we have invested in a youth-specific rapid rehousing model. which is essentially just a flexible subsidy that helps us get youth quickly into housing and then pairs services and rental assistance to them. But it's based on the needs of the youth. So it could be 3 months, it could be 12 months, it could be 24 months. And then specifically for youth who identify as LGBTQ, we have launched a host home program. And by youth, we mean young adults, essentially, ages 18 to 24. Mm-hmm. And host homes is really a foster care model, if you will, but with supportive services. And we have funded an agency that is going out and sourcing and training and raising up homes that are either LGBTQ identified themselves or empathic to youth who identify as LGBTQ. And they will be trained and raised up to accept a homeless young adult into their home, but they're also paired with services so that the youth can get back into education and employment and ultimately be able to move out into permanent housing.
One of the things that you're doing in Atlanta and the other cities that we've been talking to are doing as well is called Housing First, which obviously requires housing, having apartments to rent to people and families. How difficult has that been in Atlanta to have not only the housing stock that you need, but also the landlords who want to rent to people who have been homeless?
We are not unlike practically every other city in the country, which is really struggling to source landlords to come to the table and partner with our programs and our subsidies. In terms of things like NIMBYism, not in my backyard, and stigma and stereotypes, it's such an easy proposition to convince a community or a neighborhood or a developer or landlord to house a teacher or a firefighter or a police officer, mm-hmm. or even just a, you know, low-income individual. But when we throw into the mix housing someone who's formerly homeless, even if it's a homeless family, let alone somebody who's chronically homeless with issues around addiction and mental health, then it becomes a much more challenging proposition. And also throw into the mix somebody with a long history of evictions, potentially with a criminal background, with credit issues. It just becomes, a hill that increasingly becomes more of a mountain. And so given an occupancy rate in Atlanta that's close to 95 to 96% right now, mm-hmm. There are a lot of forces that are working against us and that are very challenging. And it's not as if we're asking landlords to take people for free. We are coming with subsidies and we are coming with vouchers. And in some cases, subsidies that will pay up to market rent, not just fair market. For us in Atlanta, a lot of what we are working on is reducing stereotypes and stigma, and even just changing the way we frame the conversation and what we call our subsidies. For example, we have partnerships with the Housing Authority that allow us to utilize a Section 8 choice voucher. So we stop calling it Section 8 entirely and just call it choice, mm-hmm. because there's so much stigma that comes along with the term Section 8.
What would you say is the one piece of advice that you would give to other cities, given the fact that you have decreased homelessness pretty significantly in Atlanta in the last few years? What would be the one thing you would tell other cities that are trying to do the same thing?
It's hard to tout Atlanta's work knowing that our counterpart cities are working just as hard as we are, and where there are communities and cities around the country that have been struggling and have had increases despite their best efforts. The question of housing affordability has been, first and foremost. I think as a country and as individual cities and communities, we really need to push the envelope in terms of our policies and our investments around housing affordability. I think the other thing is going to both the public and the private sector, because the reality is, the money we get from HUD for continuum of care dollars and homelessness will never be enough to address the issues. And we need all of the sectors, both public and private, coming to the table to partner and align their resources.
That is Catherine Marchman, who is Executive Director of Partners for Home in Atlanta. Catherine, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you highlighting this important issue.